We should enter his gate with thanksgiving and his court with praise. His temple is his presence is here this morning. Therefore, I want us to, out of the depth of our heart, to pour out whatever you feel the Lord has done for you. How wealthy the Lord is before you. Pour out your heart and worship him. And tell him your faithfulness is forever. We are in your court and everything that we owe this morning is unto you. Shall we begin to pray? Our Heavenly Father, this morning we just want to thank you, O God. We come before you in humility and in obeisance, O God. Father, to worship your name on high. For you, O God, are God. You have created us and not we by ourselves. For us to be alive, O God, this morning is by your grace. For we know one thing, that we many went to bed, but it's not everyone who is alive this morning. Therefore, Father, for us to be alive and in your presence, O God, we owe you thanksgiving, O God. And therefore, with our hearts full of praise, O God, we worship your majesty. We glorify your name. And you say, worthy, O God, have your way. Have your way in us, in Jesus' mighty name.
Let's continue to worship the Lord. Let's thank him for his faithfulness, for his glory, for his presence. Lord, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you, we bless you. Oh, with a grateful heart, we come before you this morning. Father, we exalt you. We exalt you. We thank you, Lord, for life. We thank you, Lord, for strength. We thank you, Lord, for grace. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, oh God. We bless you. We bless you, oh God. We bless you. We are here today, oh God. We bless you. We are here today, oh God. We bless you. Father, some are dying. Some are in pain. But glory be to God in the highest, oh God. We bless you. We bless you, O God. Our hearts bless you, O God. Our soul bless you this morning. Father, we bless your name. We glorify you, Jesus. For there is none like unto thee. None besides you, O God. Father, we glorify you. We glorify you. You never change. 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 That's why we are here today, because you never change. You are a covenant keeping God. You never fail, you never fail, you never fail. You are never late. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. We thank you, Jesus. With a grateful heart, we thank you. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 13, he said, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. He cannot deny himself. He is faithful. That's why we gather today. Some of us would have been dead by now. But he is faithful. I declare to the Lord, say, you are faithful, O God. You are faithful, O God. You are faithful, O God. For my children, you are faithful. For my husband, you are faithful. For my job, you are faithful. For my health, you are faithful. You are faithful, O God. You are faithful, O God. You are faithful, O God. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all, I might be faithless, but Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. You never change, you never fail. Your grace is sufficient for me. No matter what I go through, you are able. No matter what I go through, you are able. You are able, you are able. You are able, you are able. You are faithful, you are faithful. You are faithful. Increase my faith, O God. Ask the Lord to increase your faith this morning. Increase my faith, O God. Increase my faith, O God. Increase my faith, O God. May I be faithful to you, O God. May I be faithful to you, O God. Because you cannot deny yourself. You are faithful. In my circumstance, you are faithful. In my trials, you are faithful. Edible soul, you are faithful. In my health, you are faithful. In my family, you are faithful. Thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness, O God.
Hallelujah. Let's begin to exalt God. Tell him how faithful it is. Father, we say thank you for being faithful. In all aspects of our life, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name. I'll take you back to the book of Philippians we just read. Usually after reading every book, I'll speak to the Lord. I need a rhema word. So the Lord ministered to me in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. Please, you can put it on the board. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. For the Lord is coming again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So this morning, I want you us to pray. Let's thank God that everything that stands as a blockade to me being able to rejoice, Jesus, take control. Let's begin to lift up our voice. Mahasandabaha, Malabosa. Father, you said in your word, Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7, you said, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. For the Lord is coming again. He says, be anxious for nothing. Church, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. The book of Isaiah tells us that I will make idols and nothing. The things that treasure are worthless. Those who speak for them are blind. They are ignorant to their own shame. My people have rejected the living water. They have built for themselves systems that cannot even hold water. This morning we come before your throne of grace. We lift everybody we have prayed on every single seat before you this morning. The sovereign Lord, appear to them on their homes like you did to Saul on the way to Damascus. In this meeting, let there be a manifestation, oh God. Let there be a visitation, oh God. People will come brokenhearted. Let them be able to encounter you in a new way, in a different dimension, oh God. Mama. Father, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to continue to pray. We will read from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I will read from verse 20. It says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes. Some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray that, Lord, I want to be used for noble purposes. We've been hearing our Father and the Lord ministering to us. Paul told Timothy that, For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying of my hands. So we're going to pray that, Father, as your words have been coming and it will continue this morning, make me an instrument of noble purposes so that I can be used for your glory. Let's begin to pray. Father, we exalt you and magnify your name. We give you all the praise, O God. We exalt your name because you are worthy to be praised. My Lord and King, in this large house of Christ for tabernacle, Father, we are of special gold and silver to be used for your purposes, O God. This morning we ask that every word that we have received from the pulpit in this month of your power, it shall be used, O God, for special purposes in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray to you, Lord, our Father, you will use us. I want to be used. Tell the Lord, I want to be used. I want to be used. I want to be useful. I want to be useful. I want to be useful for special purposes in your house. I want to manifest your grace and your power upon my life. Tell the Lord, help me to fan into flame your gift upon me, so that in this month of power, I will manifest in your power in the name of Jesus. Tell the Lord, I want to be used for special purposes. I want you to use me, Lord. Use Christ for tabernacle, we pray it. In the name of Jesus, that every word that will come to us, O Lord, we will use them, Father, for your work. In the name of Jesus, prepare our hearts, O God.
Thank you, God of heaven. Thank you for you. using us for your glory. Thank you for using us for your honor. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being used as a vessel to glorify your name, to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, we magnify your name. We say thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for that privilege. In Jesus' name we pray. Psalm 47 from verse 1 says, clap your hands, all ye nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, who he loved. Let's just begin to thank the Lord, because indeed he has loved us. He has chosen our inheritance for us. Let us clap unto God with a voice of triumph. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for choosing our inheritance. Thank you, Lord, for showering us with blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we can worship and magnify your name. Lord, we magnify and we thank you because you show yourself mighty in our life. Thank you, Lord, for the open heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you shower upon us. God of heaven, we bless you. We magnify your name. All glory and honor and praise and adoration belongs to you, the Ancient of Days, the Everlasting Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your showers of blessing. Thank you, Lord, because you are mighty. Thank you, Lord, for the sound of rejoicing. We sing praises and glory to your name. We magnify your name. Glory and honor and praise to you, our God and our King. We worship you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your move in the midst of us this morning. In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 12 says songs of praise, and that's what we are going to do after the call to worship this morning. In that day, you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. That is today. Then surely, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, we will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, we will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Looking at the beginning of this year, God has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. After leaving the service today, go like the redeemed of the Lord and begin to say so. Hallelujah. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Christ, say tabernacle. For great is the Holy One of Israel amongst us. Amen. With this in mind this morning, with a clean hands and a pure heart, let's read the book of Psalm 24 with an uplifted hand. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his heart to what is false, nor swear deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord, and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Let us sing the book of Psalm 145, please. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Amen.
of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We give you praise, Lord.
Amen.
We give you glory, Lord. We give you honor, Lord. We bless and magnify your name, Lord Jesus.
Give glory to God.
Give glory to God.
Give glory to God.
Give God the glory.
Majesty. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. There is something from heaven that will happen to you this morning in this building. It is called the glory of the Most High. It shall light over you. It shall receive. You will receive by your spirit. It will rest upon your soul. It will rest upon your body. It will manifest in your mind. It will transform your reasoning. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' anointed name. Somebody say amen. Put your hands together for the King of Kings that lives forever and ever. Hallelujah. Turn to someone beside you and welcome them this Sunday. Tell them it's a great day. Hallelujah forevermore. Well, could you take your seats in the heavenly places, please? Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands together for the choir to take their seats. Amen forevermore. Thank you. I'm enjoying God more than ever this season. What about you? The Lord is nakeding the devil. So that in the Church of God global, Satan will have no more hiding place. Hallelujah, somebody. Shall we stand up together and read Galatians chapter 3, verse 13? One, two, go. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. What's happening with you guys? Is there somebody who is an apprentice? Give way. Oh, your computer froze? Or AI had taken you over? Amen. Because they said AI. AI has been in Nigeria for a long time. It is called I. And it's in the Bible. The battle of AI. Amen. Shall we read the word of the living God together? Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for me. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on the tree. Verse 14. He redeemed me in order that the blessings of Abraham might come upon me through Jesus Christ, so that by faith I might receive the promised Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen to that. Take your seats in the heavenly places. The word of God cannot be broken. It cannot prove false. Amen. It has been tested in fire. And it has stood the test of flames. And I'm very much happy with you for the past 3 days that we have been enjoying heaven. That is the first, second, third of every month in Christ's Way Tabernacle is a period of convocation. And the advice I give to every member is that at least one of the day, take one of the day and fast to meet the Lord. Fasting in Christ's Tabernacle is not a prescription for warfare or a prescription to solve problem. It is an advice to get your heart closer to God. Because when you fast, you humble yourself so that you may hear God better. Amen. We never fast because of enemy, and we never fast because of problems. The Bible tells us that, you know, we should cast our cares on Him. For He cares for us. If we care for Him, He will take care of us. Amen. When we meet the enemy, we command. We don't solicit with devil. Amen. We don't negotiate with demons. Not so in Christ with tabernacle. And so we have these 3 days, which are covenant days with us. with the Lord, so that every member of this household, thank you, can, you know, spend their own time with God, and we can come in to be refreshed and by what heaven is saying to the churches. And this time around, God has been speaking about your identity, your new identity in Christ. When you say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, what happens to you? God has been talking about it. And God has made us know clearly that there are two dispensations this in the past 3 days. Two dispensations, you know, that affect the children of God. The first dispensation is the dispensation of the law, which came by Moses. And we saw that black and white in the Bible. And the dispensation of Jesus Christ, which is the dispensation of grace. And we saw that in the book of John, in chapter 1, if you read verse 14 to verse 16. And that is so clear to us. And the Bible tells us this too, which I made known to you, or reminded you about. Those who are under law are under Moses, and curses came by law. And we're going to look at that more in my next meeting with you, you know, on a Sunday. Because the law is given by Moses, and so curses are, you know, arise from the laws. But then grace is given by Jesus Christ, and grace arises by Christ. Moses cannot give grace because he was not a messenger of grace. He was a messenger of law. And Jesus cannot give law because he's a messenger of grace. And if you look at the two dispensations, we discover that the better dispensation is the dispensation of Jesus Christ. And those who believe in Jesus Christ, we call them Christians. You know, there's no such a thing as born again Christian. That is a faff. It is born again and you be a Christian, or you are not born again and you are non-Christian. You know, you heard the slogan, people say born again Christian, it doesn't come from God, neither does it have a biblical base. If you are born again, then you are a Christian, because the first time Christian was mentioned in the Bible was in the church of Antioch, because the people behaved like Jesus Christ, and so they said they are Christ-like. And so that's the time they started calling people Christians. It's not Jesus. Jesus never said that my followers shall be called Christians. Okay. It is by virtue of the behavior of the church of Antioch that they did like Jesus Christ, and then the Bible says that they began to call them Christians. Now, why am I giving you this precis? Because we're about to dive into deeper waters. So we found out from the scriptures, you know, that we have two dispensations, the dispensation of law and the dispensation of grace. And we discovered that the dispensation of grace is better than law, because something very different, major difference, you know, between the New Testament Christians and the Old Testament children of God, the Jews, is in the book of Hebrew chapter 8. Don't forget that book. Hebrew chapter 8. And it begins from verse, let me read from verse 14. Let us look at something from verse 8, maybe. Yeah, let's look at that. It says, well, maybe let me read down from 1. And I will talk about where I want, because some people will be watching on television who are not used to this. It says, the point of what I'm saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. This is Jesus Christ that the Bible is discussing about. Yes, the next verse. And who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set by the Lord, not by man. The distinction between Jesus and Moses. Moses served, an appointed priest to serve in the tabernacle in this world, built by man. But Jesus served in the tabernacle of heaven, built by God directly, and he sits at the right hand, which is the hand of counsel. Alright? Now, to make a distinction between those who followed Jesus and those who followed Moses, you need to know where you are. And then he went further to say, every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one, Jesus Christ also, to have something to offer if he's going to be the high priest. However, verse 4, it says, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. So the old priests in the Old Testament are under the law. They are regulated by the laws of Moses. Really, they were appointed from the law. And so, there is no reason for Jesus to have to come and do the same thing. If Jesus came to the earth, he would just be submitted to the law if he's to continue in the Mosaic lineage. But something is different about Jesus, recognized. He began to tell you that Jesus Christ sits in the right hand of God and he operates in the tabernacle in heaven. And so that's the reason why he's different from Moses, who had to build the tabernacle on earth according to the pattern of heaven. And so he appointed priests who must offer sacrifice and give. But if Jesus too will have credence on earth, he must also have a sacrifice and a gift that he will offer. And so the next verse says, therefore, they serve a sanctuary that is a copy of the shadow of what is in heaven, which is Moses. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown in heaven. Remember, the one who sits in the tabernacle of heaven is who? Jesus. You have read that in the first verse. Alright, so then, we go on. Then it says, but the ministry of Jesus Christ receives, the ministry Jesus has received is superior to theirs, as the covenant of which he is a mediator. That is the New Testament. You know what the word covenant also means? Testament. Of which is a mediator, is superior to the Old Testament. New Testament is superior to the Old Testament. The covenant of grace is superior, which is from Christ, is superior to the covenant of Moses. Really, the covenant of Moses is inferior because it's not perfect, it's imperfect, because Moses is just a man. That's the reason why Moses missed the promised land too, because it was just a flesh and blood. And Aaron, you know, Aaron, who is the false priest, led people to worship idols. He built with his hand the golden calf and gave it to the people, because it is inferior covenant. It is inferior, testament. But those who are with Jesus are in the superior covenant. So those who are with Jesus, no wonder Jesus said, 21:21. Jesus said that, God people born by men, we're somewhere in 21. It says, no one is as high as John the Baptist, but the least in the new covenant is higher than John the Baptist, which means anybody born again is higher than Moses, is higher than Abraham, is higher than Elijah and Elisha. And I wonder why people want to be like Elisha. You never pray that prayer because Elijah saw many trouble. Elijah saw many sorrows. Because the covenant you are in, the generation of Abraham and Elisha and Elijah saw it and they wished they were born in that covenant, which is Christianity. Are we together? And this scripture begins to open you to what Christianity really is. It says, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator. It's also superior to the old one. And it is founded on better promises. Now, if you look at this, many Christians who have been deceived, and people say to you that you are cursed, you are suffering from generational curses, and they begin to do some exorcism over you, saying that they are breaking nonsense, breaking curses, which does not exist. Many Christians do not read Bible, so they don't understand their rights in God. And what I'm showing you now tells you that you cannot continue to claim you are a Christian and you don't read Bible. You are not a Christian. If you are a Christian, you will read Bible daily. If you are a Christian, you will pray to the Jesus you see, you accept. You may come to church, that doesn't make you a Christian. You may pay your tithe and do everything, it doesn't make you a Christian. You may sing, worship and cry, it doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is somebody who repented of his sin and invited Jesus Christ to his life to be his Lord and Savior. And he follows this instruction of Jesus Christ, not the instruction of this world. I will show you some things that will blow your mind up. But you need to make a decision who you are. Who you
you are.
Because God is blessing your business, blessing you, getting promotion, doesn't mean you are not born again. It doesn't mean you are born again. No. Don't make mistake. I sent you the video of Pastor Pittman, and anybody in this church who have not received that video, contact my office so that you can receive it. Really, you know, I told them in New Cross, and I will tell you this. This is just a side attraction. Do you know what happened today? While I was preparing myself for this meeting, I just put on the BBC, and I had some news. And I said, my God, many Christians are not aware of this. The news is this. You know, from Pentagon, it was released. And the belief is this. They believe that this year, Third World War will happen. If you don't know, écoutez. And they said, because of that, our own force, Navy, are practicing now. Okay? You will sit here, Antichrist will come up, and the rest have gone. Who understand that to be a Christian is not because you are affiliated with the name of a church. It's because you know Christ, you surrender to him, and you are walking according to his counsel so that you hear the trumpet when it sounds. While you are still going your own duty and doing whatever you think, and they analyze it. The moment Iran comes into conflict with America, no, it's no-brainer. Third World War will come. And the way it is, they analyze it. They have pumped everything to recognize that this is the year that is marked for. And you know these guys who are top in the world operations, a good number of them are Masons and Illuminatis and, you know, stuff like that. They know what they are saying. And when it is so time, they will make it happen. So that rapture will happen unexpectedly and as quickly like speed of light. And I said to myself, there are some people who come to church daily who do what they like. They live the life they think. In death, your thought is dead. It is like if you do whatever you like in England and they bring you before the law, all what you do, all what you believe, all what you think will not speak before the judge. The judge will open the law of England and Wales, and he will judge you according to the law of England and Wales. You may feel not guilty, and you could be sentenced. So is the law of God. When you and I will stand before the Most High God, we will have no plea at all. No plea at all. And that's the reason why you who hear my voice, count yourself blessed in this age that a man who Jesus appeared to 40 years ago is echoing again the voice of heaven. And the one who had not stopped seeing the Lord over the past 40 years, who had not stopped going to heaven over the past 40 years, the one to whom God has revealed his arm, is telling you the truth for this moment. If you are still sitting on the fence, get up and wake up. The hour is so short. And if you claim to be a Christian and you are messed up by Satan, understand, are you truly a Christian then? Are you truly a Christian then? No peace in the morning, no peace in the night. Every day is agony. That is not Christianity, my friend. There is a life that is full of grace. The grace can heal. The grace can deliver. The grace can help. The grace can strengthen. It can empower. It can give you understanding. It can give you wealth. It can give you anything you think about that God has in his disposal. And this is Jesus. It's Jesus. You should be fed up of your life if you are not walking in line with Jesus. And just return back now. God has better promises. He says that this is founded on better promises. It is founded on better promises. I'm fed up of people who, when they come under unction, they start manifesting demons and they say they are born again. Whereas born again are supposed to cast out devils. And I will show you the reason why that happened to some Christians. They don't need deliverance. They only need repentance. So that scripture tells me that the ministry of Jesus Christ is based on better promise. But let's go forward and see. Further, it says, for if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, which is the Old Testament, no place would have been sought for another. We don't need the New Testament. If the Old Testament was perfect. But the imperfection of it is not because of God, it's because of man, who are the trustees or executors of the Old Covenant. Okay? So if the executor of the old covenant, the first priest of the old covenant, eventually molded idol and engraven image and he gave it to people to serve, then we can understand why God should wipe that covenant off. Alright? And that's the reason why God needs another covenant headed by somebody who is spotless, sinless. And that is Jesus Christ. I love God. You are the only wise one. If you look at the scriptures, there are 4, verse 8. But God found fault with the people and said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I, God, will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." The next verse, please. "It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them out by hand and led them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord." Hold it. This is talking about what? Exodus. Exodus. Moses bringing people out of Egypt, and the law. And the law. All the laws of Moses. Do not do this. Do not do that. Do not do this. Do not do that. All the curses in Mount Ebal from the book of Deuteronomy from chapter 28 from verse 15. All those laws, all those curses, so many of curses. This new covenant is not like that. There is no curse in this one. The next verse says, verse 10, we are getting close to it. "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws" where? "In their mind." That's the difference between you and Moses. The laws of God was written on tablets. It's not in their mind. That's why they can commit sin like that. It was not written in their mind or their heart. It was not put in their mind, neither is it written in their heart. And so, Moses was, God said, "Touch the rock." For people, he smashed the rock and he lost Canaan. Aaron, people said, "What shall we do with this man Moses? He's getting too long. Make for us an idol." And the priest, the first priest, chief priest, made an idol with his hand. Because he's a mortal man. The laws of God is not written by God in his heart. Neither did God put it in his mind. He wrote it on a tablet for them to look at. They soon forget it. But in our own time, if you are born again, the day you are born again, the Holy Ghost stamped the word of God in your mind and he writes it with the handwriting of God in your heart. That's the reason why you don't need anyone to tell you that this is a sin or that is a sin. This is not a sin. If you are born again and you are living reckless, you are not born again. You don't know him at all. If you claim to be born again and you live worldly, you may cry when you are worshiping. It's a crocodile tears. You don't know him at all. Because those who know him, he puts his word in their mind so that they think about his word all the time. He writes it in their heart. You cannot, even if nobody teaches you the word of God, you will know the right and the wrong. That's the evidence you are born again. If you don't know that, you are not born again. Don't leave this building or leave this television that you are watching or look at this social media unless you're born again, because you don't know what will happen next time. The next minute. The covenant God makes now is this covenant that he writes his law in our hearts and he puts it in our mind. "I will be their God." Those whose law have been put into their mind and written in their heart, then God will be their God. Alright. And he says, "And they will be" what? "My people." That's the beginning of victory, my friend. That's the beginning of entering to the blood of Jesus, the power of Calvary. Excuse me, somebody. So what he says, how did this happen? Verse 11. "No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother, say, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest, babies to the oldest." Then the next verse says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." Well, 13. Shall we read this together, please? Obliterated the old law. So the laws of Moses have no jurisdiction over Christians. Check it again in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And we'll read it together. Shall we? Therefore. Excuse me. You know the whole of this church is reading. Let me look at your mouth and read. Shall we together, please? For who? How many of you did it set free? The law of spirit of life set me free from the law of sin. So the law of Christ set me free, which is superior from the law of Moses, which causes death and curses. Do you know something? If you want to argue this further, look at the next verse and let's read it to ourselves. Shall we? Come on. Hallelujah forevermore. You see, Satan messed up. He thought he got the whole world where he got Adam and Eve. He did not know that there is another seed that he did not know. He is the seed that created the devil and created demons. His name is Jesus. He was in the Father. It was through him the world was made. All the angels were made by him. And for him alone. Satan did not understand. He sees the Most High God, the Almighty, as an entity. But he is a three persons in one person. And when the time came, God in God came out of God and put on flesh. He came to the earth. He looked like a man. Satan was still daft. That this man, how can he be man? He was not conceived by the semen of a man. He was conceived by the Spirit of God, the third party of God. He entered into a woman. He became flesh and blood. And he began to walk in the world. He took your sins. He took my sins in his body. He took the law of Moses. He took them together. Went to the cross. He nailed them on the cross. And when he died, the law of Moses died. The power of sin died. The power of death died with him. When he resurrected, everyone who believed in him died as he died. When he resurrected, we resurrected with him. And so we are new person. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if a man be in Christ Jesus, he's a brand new species. Amen. He never existed. He just started existing. Hallelujah. And someone tells me that my umbilical cord of my forefathers have a problem. Utter nonsense, brother. And those who believe you have been fooled. We've dealt with that for 3 days. But you can't understand where we are going if you don't understand just the precede I've given you. Who is your God? It's Jesus, not Moses. So what are you doing with curses? When the law of Moses was said to have been weakened by flesh, and so God, a man, came. That man be delivered through him. While the distinction between you and the time of Moses is that God put his law in your mind. You cannot follow the world. He put it in your mind. And he wrote it in your heart with handwriting of God. That is if you are born again. You need no one to tell you that this is wrong. Because the law is there. He will tell you, this is wrong. And if you are born of God, if you did that wrong, you will ask him for mercy. And he forgives it. You cannot live in that wrong if you are truly born again. You don't have a will, but his will. As somebody who is not doing his will, begin to tell others that I've tried Christianity nonsense. You should go and try witchcraft. Oh, yes. So that they teach you pepper. I came from that background. I know the evil that devil is. I know the evil the devil is. And I know the good that Jesus is. Hallelujah, somebody. Yes. Therefore, why should a Christian be afflicted in their body? And some people are confused because it curses. Let's deal with that. I know we had made prayer references to that for some time. I told you I will talk to you about the rules of engagement if I can today. Let me help you know this. If the devil is an enemy of God, and the devil has children on earth, and God's children now mingle with the children of the devil, what do you think their mandate is? Is it friend? No, it's to kill you. They see the mark of their enemy on you, and the spirit that works in them, the moment you join your hands with them, you are a dead man. And that we saw yesterday. We saw yesterday that a Christian can never be cursed by anybody. However, a Christian by his own choice may walk under curses because of his ignorance. Now, write the scriptures down. Proverbs 26:6. And you must memorize it. As the bird of wandering, as the swallow by flying, so a curseless shall not come. Give me the NIV. Like if NIV, please. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest on anybody's head. So, number one, it means that if you live in the region of grace, it is impossible for curse to rest on you. And we looked at two great scenarios yesterday. The Laban story and Genesis 31:24, where Laban, a witch doctor, decided to go and curse Jacob because his wife Rebekah has stolen the God of the father. And I help you to know that. If I was very clear, on the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled, taking his relatives with him. He pursued Jacob for 7 days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Verse 24 says, then God came to Laban the Aramean and said in a dream at night, and said to him, be careful to say anything to Jacob, whether good or bad. So God told Laban, the witch doctor, it is his daughter who stole the idol. And some people tell you that the idols of your forefathers or the altar in your family is the one after you. Can you see nonsense? Can you see nonsense? This man, a witch doctor, he took the altar of God in his altar. His daughter stole it. He decided to go and curse Jacob. And God stopped him. That you are not part of those who can even open that your dirty mouth. And I read to you, we stopped in the book of Leviticus. When we looked at, Numbers 23. Before we go to Leviticus. When we looked at the issue of Balaam and Balak. And what we saw about Balaam and Balak is that each time Balaam, if you want to know who that is, go and listen to my other tapes. For the first 3 days. Week tonight is for every Christ with Tabernacle members. If you didn't come, you're on your own. Now, listen to me, those who come. Who came? You remember Balaam? Good. So what happened to him? The Bible tells us how he was invited by Balak to go and curse Israel. Like someone took your matter to a diviner. And Israel didn't know it. And the Bible tells us, when they got there to where they were cursed, they started from a place called Barren Heights. When they got there, Balaam told Balak, build 7 altars. You know, I've always shown you that the altar of the father of Rebekah did not have power at all, credence over Jacob, because Jacob is a child of God. Listen to me. But if you look at Jacob, Jacob can never be forced to serve the idol. No, he didn't compromise. Though he married that woman who is an idol worshiper. But he did not compromise his faith. That woman, Jacob is the one who dictated to the woman what to do. And the woman did it. That is to serve the living God. He was never influenced. So, what happened? 7 altars were built. And the first time that Balaam, the witch doctor, decided to go and curse Israel, God sabotaged him. God first arrested him. And it was angel of God first. Angel of God stood to oppose him. And his donkey stopped. And the man was beating the donkey. And the donkey decided to move towards the wall. Okay? And so, to avoid the angel, but the angel covered the whole street, the whole road. So when the leg of Balaam was crashing the wall, Balaam beat that donkey. And the donkey... Hallelujah. His senses became correct. And the donkey spoke in the language of Balaam. Moabite. Why did you beat me like this? I want to look at that story. Go and read it, the 22. And the donkey spoke in human language and told Balaam, if your donkey spoke in human language, what will you do? You will jump up and take on your heels. But you see, Balaam of a man is so powerful, grace God gave him. He was so powerful, though he was a demonic man, you know. And then the donkey said, all this time you have been beating me, have I ever done this to you? You have ridden me all the time I've submitted to you. I expected you are a prophet, you should see. You are a medium, your eyes should open. He said, look at the man in front of you. You are a dead man if I move. Excuse me. God opposed the man. And then, after the altar had been built, it's after that time he built the altar. Built the altar when he was going to curse. The Bible says God double-crossed him and changed his tape of his mouth. Come on, let me tell you. And we learned this, that it is impossible for a Christian to be cursed. But that sound of warning that Balaam said, how can I curse those whom God have not cursed or who God have blessed? How can I denounce those who God have not denounced? He said, I see them separated from the world system. Hey, listen to me. They don't dress like the world dress. They don't look like the world look. They don't follow Beyonce. Oh, yes. They follow Holy Spirit. They don't follow the Vogue, version on Vogue. Because the one who controlled the Vogue is Lucifer. They follow Holy Spirit, the Bible. They don't have strange gods in their heart. They serve the living God. They don't live a life of sin or adultery or fornication. They live a life of purity. Because, you know, the laws of God is in their mind and is written in their hearts. All sins are forgiven, but as a human being, if they make mistake, the law in their heart will convict them and they will repent immediately. They don't keep malice. They don't live in anything that Satan instituted. They are pure in heart. They can ascend the hill of the Lord, as you read all the time. They don't pray and God don't answer. When they wish, heaven will move. Because they walk in step with the Holy Spirit of God. They are not confused Christians who in your office place, when they talk about Christianity and you talk, they say, hey, you cut your mouth. Are we not the same? And they tell to the other person, please carry on, talk more about Jesus. Because you are not different in your dressing to their dressing. You are not different in your speech to the way they speak. You even go when they are plotting against somebody in the office, you will be the joint contributor. The one who really stir up hatred. And so they know you as unofficial member of the kingdom of darkness. Some of them belong to witchcraft, who cast spell in that office. They look for you in the midst of witchcraft, don't see you. They look at you, you have the blood of Jesus Christ. But you are a collaborator to wickedness. What about the consequence of doing that? You can be afflicted by the devil. That is why Christians are afflicted by the devil. And let me give you one scenario on this. Let's look at the book of John chapter 5. Look at this. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. And then what happened? Now there was in Jerusalem near the sheep gates a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, and the paralyzed or paralytics. So in this pool, you have the blind, you have the lame, and you have paralytics. But one man among them had been there for 38 years. It's not good years, it's 38 bad years. What is about this man? When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for such a long time, he asked him and said, "Do you want to get well?" The lame is there, Jesus didn't go to him. The blind is there, Jesus didn't go to him. The paralytic is there, Jesus didn't go. But Jesus went to this man. I will tell you why Jesus went to him, and you will see it in a minute. The condition of this man is the worst condition. Doctor, when people have a disease that eats off their tendons and their nerves break into brittle, and they begin to bend like this, and then the hands force squeeze, and then it breaks loose and lifeless, and the legs become lifeless, the hands become lifeless, until their word in their throat, they could not speak properly, and they're slurring, and saliva is falling because all the nerves are dead. What do you call that? Degenerating disease. You know why the doctors call it degenerating disease? They don't understand it, Abby. Every disease has a real name. But that one is described according to the condition of progressive degeneration. Isn't it? Isn't it, doctor? Isn't it, doctor? So it's not a condition now, it has been in the time of Jesus Christ. No wonder Jesus went to him. But why is the man's case like that? The paralytic is there, the blind is there. Why is the man's case different? You see, Jesus said to him that he wanted to get well. The man said, "Sir, the invalid," that's what they called it in those days, replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. When I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. How can a man have such a wicked infirmity in his body and is a son of Abraham? What can give room to Satan to enter human body who claimed to be born again? What can give the devil access into human mind, into human marriage, into human life who claimed to be born of God? What can open the door that somebody who said is born of God is depressed?" Excuse me. And you know, psychiatric doctors have a lot of names for it now. What can make a Christian find himself in that region? Is that an element of grace? Come on now. No. Is it a gift of Jesus Christ? No. It's not. What can make a Christian bankrupt? Every time he puts money together, he will put it into an investment and it will destroy. And it will start again. What can make that happen to a person born of God? A person who claims to be a child of God. What can make it happen? Look at verse 14 of that scriptures. Let's read verse 14 together. Later,
Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are who I am again.
Some of you didn't read it. Maybe you are captivated, I don't know. But that scripture says, after the man got up and began to walk, he's the only man who walked out of that pool. The lame he left there, the blind he left there. You know, they have been entering the river, the pool before him, and they have been getting healed because the lame can hear, he can see. When the angels tear water, and he will try and crawl and crawl and crawl, the first lame who get it, will get it. The blind can hear, and he will begin to run helter skelter. If he fell into the pool, he will see his side. But this man has watched miracles happen for 38 years. And he couldn't move. Whatever can incarcerate a believer, why can that have access in a born again? Which is contrary to the promise, the greater promise, sin. Sin. You can't handle sin if you think you can handle it. You can't handle sin. Because our flesh is sinful. Our flesh loves sin. Our mind loves sin. Because it's not saved. Our spirit is the one that is born again. We are a spirit. We have a soul in the spirit. We live in the body. And we have a mind that controls the body. That's why the Bible says, you have the mind of Christ. I suppose, if you are born again. That's why I said to you that a born again cannot think worldly. Because if you are going too far, the mind of Christ in you will convict you, will make you restless and take your peace. If you don't have such, feelings, when you sin, you are just not born again. You don't make mistake to die. It's hell straight away. It's hell direct. Listen to me. Of course, not all sicknesses arise by sin. I've seen some Christians who have sicknesses, you know, and sometimes you can't tell them even when you see why they are in that problem. You can only talk to them in parable. Did the Bible not say in the book of 1 Corinthians 6 that our body is the temple of God? Correct? Excuse me? In the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2, did they say, let's look at that Romans chapter 12 verse 2. What does it say? Do not conform any longer So if a man truly follows the law, he will always test anything that comes to your mind and approve of God, and you do it. The day you do something that is not approved of God, you lose your peace. But if you just feel comfortable to do those things that God disapproves, you are not born again. You are not born again. The reason for the church first is for you to be born again. Really born of God. Am I talking to you? So that your body can be your body. Your life can be your life. Not someone else controlling your life. Who is a messenger of Satan? This is the casualty we have in churches. Especially those who listen to false teachers on the YouTube. And they don't read the Bible to check whether it is correct. Crowd pullers, jargon speakers. You don't know what they have done to bring crowd. It's very simple. To bring crowd. They will come. Did you hear what I just said? I spoke in tongues. Toyoterun. Ile alasaki igbe. Toyoterun. It will bring crowd. You don't understand. I told you that my father was a Satanist. Huh? Oh, you don't understand. Excuse me. Cheko yino. Amen. Let me tell you, crowd. If it is so, use the other method, which is anti-God. Crowd will come. These streets will be trampled down with crowd. But both you, who did that, and the crowd he brought, you are on a highway to hell. Excuse me. You see where the truth, you cannot preach the truth, oh. You just be telling them what they want to hear. Your enemy will die. Say amen. Everybody amen. You will see the end of the enemy. Say amen. Amen. Ah, that church is powerful. Eh? So you're telling that. That's okay. That is where they got their crowd from. Hallelujah, somebody. You may fill the stadium and be doing all manners of gimmicks. They will come. Satan will give you their children. Crowd is their children. When Jesus saw the crowd, he had mercy, he had compassion on them. They were like sheep without shepherd. But where the truth is spoken, it only takes human beings who want to go to heaven. And narrow is the way, few are we who trek it. I told them a story in New Cross, which none of you have heard from my mouth before. And that story is a story of about 32 from 14, 18 years. The youths gathered themselves to seek God. And when they were seeking God, the third day, the power of God hit the New Cross. And I was in their vigil. And, you know, a deaconess came to the meeting who had left this church now. But none of you knew why she left. We're grown up children. A deaconess who had been with me for a time. Charismatic. But something happened just recently to her, which she didn't tell anybody. She just continued to leave. And God didn't reveal it. And when the children began to pray, the power of God hit the place. And I just saw the person rolling like this. Ah, and those kids, they were hungry for the power of God. And they said, come on in the name of Jesus. And she somersaulted. Rolling on the floor, rolling on the floor. Ah, she was a deaconess. But the authority of those kids was not strengthened enough to remove the demon, but to punish the demon and disgrace the body. So I quickly went and I stopped them. I said, leave the place. When she was on, she said, hey, Apostle, please help me, please help me. And I probed in the spiritual and I found out, because the first thing to me is that, how can deaconess have demon in her body? So, I excuse the kids. They continue to pray. Go and be praying, and they continue to pray. When I examined the woman by the Spirit of God, I found that in her body are residing this evil spirit. When I inquired why, it is because she went to Nigeria on a holiday. She met her old boyfriend, whom she slept with, and came back to her matrimony as if nothing happened. And you know, one contact, evil spirit enter. I told you yesterday, didn't I? Come on, answer me. Yeah. And one of the easiest access for Satan or demons to enter a person is sex. Do we have any witch we have before? You are a witch. If you are not a witch, you better understand this. This is not a witch man, witch woman. Because when they say witch, you always say that women. It's not women. The girl they were praying for before this woman manifested was induced by demons. A boy slept with her and gave her demons. She told us, I asked her to call for the boy. The boy came and the boy said it. He said, this is her. She came to me to have sex with her and I told her, I will give you demons if I have sex with you. And the boy was 15 in England. And then the girl said to him, I don't care. And she said, the boy said, and I slept with her and I gave her demons. I said, you have finished your own confession, you can go. I said, how did you get demons? He said, I'm a cult member. I'm in gang. He said, don't you know all gangs are cults? I said, yeah, thank you for reminding me. I know more than you. Go. Carry your demon and go. That girl, we asked her, do you want Jesus? She said, yes. We told her the rule of engagement. And then we rebuked the spirit. So when they were praying for the girl, the deaconess manifested. But when God gave access into the information, she said, please help me. That is her soul speaking. And I asked her, she confessed that too, which I know is the truth. Now you have confessed, Satan, out in the name of Jesus, and the power of God flushed the spirit. When the spirit left her, she was there like a dead woman. Am I talking to you? One sexual intercourse in all her marital life. If there is no curse, there is no curse. Like a dirty sparrow that has no nest in place, a causeless curse shall not rest. Where does it rest? Human body. Because your spirit is born again, your body is not. What gave access was sin. What released the woman was repentance. Because when she had repented and confessed her sins, the demon could not rest. She may be watching me as I'm speaking. Excuse me. Throw away your garment that is stained with sin. I think this is enough for today. I have shown you a Christian cannot be cursed. And strange enough, today, because time is gone, I could not deal with Numbers 25. But if you read Numbers 23, you will see Balaam could not curse Israel. In Numbers 25, Balaam of a wicked man, went to Balak the king again and said, you know, I've inquired from the devil, you can get them through your girls. Send your girls that are demonized into their church. Let them mingle with them. And once their men start having sex with their girls, with your girls, because they are shrine girls, you will pass demons into them. Balaam advised the king, Balak. Okay? And then they send the girls. And the girls came in chapter 25 of Leviticus, and the Israelite boys and men, and they saw the demonized girls in the church, in the company of saints who did not mix with the world, and they begin to introduce worldliness gradually, and before they know it, they were delightful to Israelite boys, and their men started having sex with these women and they started proliferating demons in the camp of the Holy One. And the Bible says the anger of God burned, and the God himself destroyed Israel. The one that cannot be cursed, God cursed them. Maybe someone is listening to me that is because of your association with the devil, you are cursed by God. Man cannot break it. It's only repentance that could break it. That's the reason why Balaam was destroyed. Because he did that. You know, God with him, when the children commit sin, he punishes them. Say, woe to the person who led them to sin. God will be ruthless with that person. Am I talking to you? You and I decide never to allow the devil to give us the portion of meal that does not belong to us. Curse does not belong to you. In the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Lift up your voice and let's stand together. We read that scripture in the book of John. John 1. Shall we read it together? From the fullness. Put the 17 there. I can't see all mouth talking. Put the two together because we want to pray. Yes, then. This is not cathedral. I'm sure this is not a church of Abulifo. Hallelujah. Let's read the cathedral way. What is your portion? 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 So I rebuke every curse in the name of Jesus Christ. It does not belong to you. And the next verse says, 17, for the law. And look at Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 about the law. Now shall we read it together? Christ redeemed me. Yes. Say after me, Jesus took my place in curse. He redeemed me from the curse of the law. All the curses under the law have no power over me. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am not cursed. I am blessed. Balaam said, how can I curse he that God has not cursed? Or God has blessed? How can I denounce he that God has not denounced? Because God did not curse you, every curse spoken against you shall not stand. Deuteronomy 25:3 says, God will not allow the curse of Balaam to have effect upon Israel, because God loves Israel. Because God loves you so much by the blood of the Lamb, I say, it is written, as a dirty sparrow that has no resting place, a causeless curse shall not be. If anybody has pronounced curse over your life, I command those curses to become blessing. I say they become blessing. I say they become blessing. I say they become blessing. It does not matter where the curse is pronounced. The Bible says they went to barren hide, but they blessed. Balaam went to the low ground, he blessed. He went to the mountain, he blessed. He went to the river, he blessed. He went to the sea, he blessed. Every dimension that people can pronounce curse over your life, I command them to become blessing over you. In the name of Jesus Christ, every mind that is bound by Satan, be free in the name of Jesus. Every mind that Satan has bound in sin, be set free by the blood of Jesus. Every sickness and affliction that dwells in human body because they have sinned, I rebuke that sickness. I declare your sins forgiven. As he said, the sins of whoever you forgive shall be forgiven. I rebuke the evil spirit in human body. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on in the name of Jesus. You spirit of rebellion, the Lord rebuke you. Every association that contaminates your body, that contaminates your mind, you are free from them. God, the Holy Spirit, send your fire, send your fire, send your fire into human body, send your fire into our heart, send your fire into our mind. Everything Satan has planted, be destroyed by fire of God in the name of Jesus Christ. As you are going to the new week, the Lord will restore your fortunes. It will be a gracious week for you. The Lord will increase your inputs. He will increase your earning. He will take you to higher responsibility and capacity. The covenant God made with us this year is that we will have wealth and power of the Most High. Wealth from heaven, I speak to rest over you. Power of the Spirit, I speak to rest over you. In the wealth of this world, increase. In the power of this age, the power of Jesus Christ, meant for this age, increase. I say, any one of you who have committed your eyes to lust, be free in the name of Jesus. I speak to your children who Satan had captivated with lust. They are free in the name of Jesus. King of heaven, I salute and bless you. In Jesus' holy and anointed we pray. You will go out in joy. In this new week, you will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You walk into wealth that is not determined by man. You walk into comfort and into health that is prepared for you by the Heavenly Father. You walk into favor that heaven had determined for you. You walk into victory that Jesus has wrought for you by the cross. And the cross of Calvary shall lead you through. In this week, you will attain all that God has ordained for you. So shall it be for you. You who have been suffering from nightmares, you are free in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything the devil has pumped into your body through nightmares, I cut them to die. I decree life into your body, life into your soul, life into your spirit, life into your mind. Be free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Jesus, because it is done. In Jesus' holy and anointed name we are praying. It is the week of restoration. Come on now, put your hands together for the living God. Hallelujah. 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 I can see two boys with plaited hair. Go and remove them from your head. They belong to Shango. If you plait your hair and you are a boy, just go and get rid of it. Immediately you leave this place so that the devil will not destroy you. Are we together with me? Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. Is somebody here? Let me hear the shout of victory.
Hey! We have a victory. Hallelujah. 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 Every knee shall bow.
Be seated in the heavenly places.
Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the living Jesus. Someone praise the name of the living Jesus. Praise God for that. I just want us to rise up on our feet.
And we're going to say a prayer for Apostle Amir to collect the offering, but I just want us to pray for him. He prays for us daily, and I think we owe him a duty to pray for him and Mommy Oma as they bring us the word of God. So can we please just rise up on our feet and just say, Lord, thank you for this eternal truth that I've heard. Thank you from the well from which it has come from. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Fill your son. Fill him with your power. Fill him with your power, Lord God Almighty. Be exalted and be worshipped. Be honored, O God. Father, fill him. Visit him. This is the 40 years since you visited him and you gave him some eternal truths that brought you and I and Christ for tabernacle into being. Lord, fill him, O God, with your power. Fill him with your glory. Fill him, O Lord God Almighty. Let your namesake be praised. Let your banner be raised over him. Visit him afresh, O Lord God Almighty. Lord God Almighty, visit him and give him some more eternal truths, O God. And let the word which he has spoken today, let it travel to the ends of the earth and let it touch the hearts and mind of each and every one of us, because we have prayed in Jesus' name. And the people of God say, Amen. So we're going to collect our offering now, tithes offerings, and some of us have made some pledges. Some of us have actually, we can take our seats actually, though you're going to stand up very shortly. And while we're doing that, some of us do our givings through the electronic means. That information is on the board as we speak. And some of us will do through the traditional means. The traditional means, you'll see some people, some lovely people with the envelopes. Blue is for those of us who are taxpayers, and for those of us who are yet to be in the tax bracket, and we are hoping to, we use the green for the time being. If you do use any of those envelopes when you finish, as you're on your way out, please use the urn dumps outside and leave your offering, and God will bless you richly. I just want to share a word with us, and it's from the book of Philippians chapter 4. And Apostle Paul was talking to his group, just like Apostle is bringing us the word of God. Apostle Paul was talking to a set of people, and he left them with a message which is useful for us in this dispensation. So if we can turn to Philippians chapter 4 verse 17. I'm sure while I'm talking, you could be listening and then be opening your banking apps and preparing and packaging that which you have to give unto the Lord. Some of us have made pledges. Let us try and redeem them so that our prayers will not be hindered. And from verse 17, Apostle Paul started talking to the church. He said, "Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account." So when we are giving to God, we're actually giving and stockpiling blessings for ourselves. Verse 18, please. We're going to 19 eventually. "I have received full payments and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing unto God." And this is the key of it. "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and his glory in Christ Jesus." So if we have given our offering and we are ready, can we please rise? We're going to pray. Lord God Almighty, the gift, what I'm giving today, will be a fragrant offering to you. It will come to you as a sweet-smelling savor. Lord God Almighty, receive this. Cleanse my heart. You know, that part of scripture which says that if you are giving an offering and you have something against your brother or your sister, that you should leave the offering at the altar and go back and actually ask for repentance. We know the place of repentance today. Apostle explained that to us in the life of the deaconess, the instance that he made. So let's ask God, please Lord, this offering I'm giving to you, let it come to you out of a pure heart, out of a clean heart, out of a clean well. Lord God Almighty, let it not be by coercion. Let me not give by coercion, but let me look at the needs of the house. Let me look at, according to how you've blessed me and according to my own abilities, oh God, increase my ability to give to your work and let your namesake be praised. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, because even now, the choir will make our feet be moving and our hands be jamming. And as we do that, oh God, we'll give to you, oh God, as a sweet smelling incense, and your namesake will be praised in Jesus' precious name. And the people of God say, Amen.
Amen. The song says, every day as you are lived for, Amen. That's our word for the season, Amen.
Say, Lord, you gave me life and night and faith. What you mean to me now? How you say, Lord, I give all that I to you.
Thank you, Lord God Almighty. We praise you because every day, O God, it's you we will live for. Every day, O God, we'll walk in your footsteps. Every single day we'll commit, O God, our lives unto you. You will use us for your triumphal procession, and we will bask in the glory of that, O God, and you will receive all that glory. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, that we are able to bring unto you a sweet-smelling incense, a fragrant offering. Lord, we will know it as our offering and our tithe. But Lord God Almighty, we thank you because you are God. We thank you because you are good. We thank you because it's you that own the cattle in 1,000 hills. You own all of them. But yet, O God, you allow us, O God, King of glory, to partner with you with that which you have given unto us. We thank you for the heart with which we have given. And Lord God Almighty, we ask that this is your holy offering, given by your holy people. You come down in a holy fire and consume this holy offering, that your namesake will be praised. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And we take our seats very majestically as we invite Pastor Fumi.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have a few announcements today before we bring the meeting to a close. So I would first of all like to welcome anyone who's worshiping with us for the first time today. If it's your first time joining us here at the CFT Cathedral, would you be kind enough to identify yourself? Could you raise your hands up first or stand up, rise up to your feet so we can welcome you the CFT way? So we can welcome you the CFT way. You're depriving the choir of welcoming you. I think we had to make a commitment. Was it on Friday that we were going to bring someone on Saturday? And we're here on a Sunday. It's the beginning of a new week, so I will commit, and you will also commit, that this week you will invite someone. This week means for Tuesday JTA, or Friday night vigil, or Sunday next week, you will commit to invite somebody. Anyone willing to commit? Yes, yes, yes. The Lord will help us all. The purpose for which He saved us will be fulfilled. You know, He saved us, but He allowed us to remain here for a purpose. And part of that is to reach out to the rest of the world. And the Lord will empower us. For those who are joining us for the first time online, you're welcome. Please drop us a line at admin@cftchurches.org or reach out on any of those phone numbers and we'll be back in touch with you. We'd love to keep in touch with you and ensure that you have access to all the material that we have available within CFT. And the Lord continually bless you. I'd just like to remind us that our prayer and communion service holds tonight online at 8 p.m. on our usual channels, YouTube, Zoom, and free conference call. On Tuesday, the Jesus Territorial Army prayers will be holding here at the cathedral at 7 p.m. And then on Wednesday, we have our Bible study online, also at 7 p.m., followed by Thursday, where at 7 p.m. we'll be holding the women's meeting. Every woman in this house belongs to the women of royal destiny. So we have our women's meeting on Thursday at 7 p.m. And this week, we'll be studying two characters, prophetesses, Huldah and Deborah. And so we are all required to study ahead. Read the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and Judges chapter 4. And the format is going to change from this week. So we'll all break out into groups online and we will discuss what we have learnt from what we studied. We will also have an exhortation, but we will all contribute. We'll have an opportunity to contribute in those groups that we break out into online. So study ahead, Huldah, 2 Chronicles 34, and Judges 4. For Huldah and Deborah, and the Lord bless you. Thursday, 7 p.m. I'd like to remind us that the Morning Stars and Jewels in the Crown will have their practice today immediately after the service here at the cathedral. And that's for all instruments. A quick one around what is happening this month, February. You've heard it so many times on the pulpit today. It's 40 years this year that the Lord gave our Father in the house the mandate. And I'm sure everyone in this house knows what that mandate is. And we are all participants because we're all partnered in this house with Him on delivering that mandate. So this year is the 34th anniversary of Christ Faith Tabernacle International Churches. We will will be hosting the anniversary and divine intervention convention here at the cathedral. We are the hosts. We will have guests from our branches across the globe, and they start arriving a week before the convention begins. We will have guests from other parts of the world and the UK who will be joining us for the convention. So make sure you and I have a responsibility to continually pray towards the amazing things that God has spoken that He's going to do in this year. And you will not be left out of it. I will not be left out of it. The QR code is, I will not be left out of it. You will not be left out of it in Jesus' name. The QR code is on the screen. Please register. We have daytime sessions that will be taking place from Tuesday to Friday. We need to understand who's going to be there so we have the right preparation in place for you. So please make sure you register, and try not to register two or three times. It's one of the issues we have. You know, people will register today and then next week they've forgotten that they registered and register again. So please register just once, and we'll make adequate preparations for you. The detailed information on the program will be published shortly. So please look out for that on your various pages. But we'll have daytime sessions from Tuesday the 27th up to Friday the 1st of March. Tuesday 27th of February up to Friday the 1st of March. But we will have our evening sessions, which are empowerment sessions. We will have them from Monday the 26th of February all the way through to Friday the 1st of March. And then on Sunday, the 3rd of March, we will have our Thanksgiving service here at the cathedral. Look out for a lot more information. I'd like to remind the youths that there will be a meeting of the youths on Saturday, the 10th of February at 2 p.m. in person here at the cathedral. And the topic is, who do you love? And the subtopics you'll be looking at are looking into self-love, loving God, and the love of pleasure. So if you're a youth in this house, you're in the age range from 12 to 30, you belong to the youth of royal destiny. And don't miss out. You know, participate in whatever is happening in this house for the youth, because they deal with both the spiritual, the physical. You hear it all the time. Apostle talks about, I'm a whole man. So we're interested in you as the whole person of the youth. So if you're a youth, do join in on Saturday the 10th at 2 p.m. here at the cathedral. And finally, a short word about parking. So it's come to our attention that a number of people have been receiving multiple tickets as a result of parking in the Travel Lodge car park. And those letters that you've been receiving along with the tickets allege a parking contravention. Some of these, I understand, appear to be defective. For example, it assumes that you have 0 minutes from the minute you come in there to pay in, and as a result, you get a ticket. So we're taking this up collectively, and we're encouraging you to appeal. We're doing some work collectively, but also as an individual, you'll need to go through the appeal process. Please see Pastor Tayo if you need guidance on making an appeal. But in the meantime, we are asking that you avoid parking at the Travel Lodge car park. And if you do, ensure that you pay for your parking within 10 minutes of arrival. And by the way, that's 10 minutes of arrival, not 10 minutes of parking. But ideally, you should use the app so that you can obtain and retain electronic records for at least a month. And you need to retain those records for the purpose of the appeal. But I think our encouragement in the house is that you avoid parking in the Travel Lodge car park at all. And I think last night Apostle mentioned two car parks that are around, a spiral car park and another one somewhere behind. If everyone knows where behind is, I'm not quite sure. But I'm sure if you go on Parkopedia or something, it'll tell you where all the car parks around here are. And the Lord will bless you Well, we will not have Devourer in our pocket. So if you have a parking ticket, make sure you contact Pastor Tayo, actually, just to ensure you understand how we're dealing with this and how to go through the appeal and what we'll do on a collective basis. And the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless me too. Amen. I'd like to invite our Deacon Samuel.
And praise the Lord. So, as it was announced last week Sunday, today marks the beginning of the drive to get new members for the Jewels and the Crown and the Morning Star and the orchestra in total. Whoop, whoop. Praise the Lord. We're looking to bring in new minds so that we can develop them in their music and in their music, really. So, if I can have, yep, the QR code up. So, there's a QR code for all who are above the age of 5. Who would like to join, and the entrance date will be in March the 10th. So for all new intakes, not old intakes, please, parents, take a snapshot of the QR code and enroll your child. However, if you have multiple children, do understand that you will have to take a photo of the QR code more than once for each child, okay? So, thank you very much. And again, like it was announced, after the service, we do have our session for tonight. For this afternoon, not tonight, this afternoon. Okay, have a nice day. Bless. And we'll welcome Apostle.
Amen. Wow. Can I just add to the announcement for the hotel? We want every one of you to boycott that hotel. Are we together? And as a matter of law, anybody who has received those fines, if you let them know in the office, we are going to do a joint representation. We can override or overthrow whatever decision they have made. Those decisions are contrary to the Sales and Service Act. And if we join together for a representation, we can easily stop that and also, you know, get our reimbursement. And I will say also, if you have an account with Dartford Crossing and you suddenly receive bundles of fines now, don't pay it. What you do, there's a telephone which is of Darfur Crossing. You call them, and when you call them, they will cancel all those fines. The reason being that they changed the company that administered them, and without informing customers. So all the bills they send you, they will pay, they will just charge you £2, which is the normal fee, and cancel it. But if you don't phone them by 4th of March, you may not receive letter, or they send you your email, you may not have read it. If you don't do it by 4th of March, the limitation period will expire, and you have to pay. So make sure you do that. I have another choir here. Now, just a special announcement and we close. We are proposing to conduct a wedding in this church on Tuesday the 13th of February at 8 a.m. I want to call these people out. Brother Emmanuel Ola Oye. Where is Brother Emmanuel? Please stand up and come forward. Put your hands together for the man who wants to do something. He will tell us what he wants to do now. Emmanuel, you're welcome. That is my son, Brother Emmanuel. I think I can speak on your behalf.
Yes.
Good. I'm helping him. And after speaking on his behalf, I will send my bill to him. He is proposing to wed Sister Osi Ogedengwe. Where is Sister Osi? Is this how you walk on that day? That's my daughter. Now, it is customary for us to announce this for two reasons. One, for reason of law as per the church. If anybody have any reason why these two people should not be wedded together in holy matrimony, let him speak now or forever be silent. All right, so if you don't have an objection, make sure you attend the wedding. Are we together? It's Tuesday and it's 11 a.m. We know that it is during working days that some of you don't have work at the time, of course, too. So if your work is a shift work, make sure you come over as long as that hour is available to you. And the second reason why we announce this is that nobody should believe God for Sister Osi. Am I talking to you? Am I correct, Brother Emmanuel? You know, Brother Emmanuel will not entertain any vision from anybody who said that I had a vision. You should have had your vision 3 years ago. If you did not have such vision, this man has laid his hand on the disturb and there is no going back. And by the grace of God, this week we will wed both of them in holy matrimony. May the Lord bless you, Brother Emmanuel, and may the Lord bless you, Sister Osi. Please, you can go back to your seat. Amen. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth what? All of you wives, you will be favored to your husband. Shall will arise in the name of the Lord. We put our hands together and read the Lord's Prayer as we close. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Forever and ever. Shall we lift up our hands to heaven and share the grace in fellowship? Now, may the God of peace, I brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Turn to somebody and read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 14. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord. To yourself, surely goodness and mercy all the days and what time did I call the wedding? 11. It's 11.
Not,
all right. I was talking from the realm of the spirit. I was hearing 11, but mommy said she had 8. Okay, I said that before. That was in the flesh. And the other one I said, that is in the spirit. The one you believe is the one in the spirit. Amen, somebody. It's 11 a.m. I don't think any wife will accept marriage to be fixed at 8. Because wife, even at 8, they are still painting their teeth. Yeah, it is allowed. You paint your leg, paint your mouth, paint your face, paint all your paintable. Because, of course, I always see that women, they even put something yana yana over their body. And the next Sunday, you will see that again. Even all of them who are now old, they just don't do that again. Well, God bless you. We thank God for you, the women anyway. Shall you just declare that shall be a source of blessing, they will fall in your house. Thank you.
to us according to confession. Please be seated, and the ushers will lead you on row by row.